Section one, that's what it does. Or, yeah, section one. Section two has to do with disposals within a 5-mile radius of the communities. Now, and it's not in any way, shape, or form intended to stop land disposals. And in fact, it's to encourage land disposals in these areas, but it's to encourage them after 20% of the land has been disposed of in these areas, that they, if they want to go on with additional land disposals, that they sit down with the communities and they decide where these disposals should be taking place. Many cases throughout the state of Alaska, what is happening, the state is coming in and disposing of land, and it may be 3 or 4 miles, it may be 10 miles, it may be 2 miles down the road, and there are vast expanses of land in between these disposals. The community would rather have some kind of systematic growth to their communities, and they're not having anything to say about it. So we're saying that once you reach this point of saturation with disposal in an area, that the community begins having something to say about it. And we're talking about in the future, if you expect these communities that are presently unorganized communities to ever become organized and have a tax base or anything else, they have got to have something to say about how their community is going to grow. We all realize that we're going to have land disposals in the in these areas, and we are encouraging them. But we would like to have something to say systematically as to how our communities are going to grow in rural Alaska. And that's all this amendment does. I received a note from one of my colleagues that wants to know if the 5-mile radius would become part of the community. That's exactly what's happening right now. We have the various the umbrella corporations, the native village councils, etc. Once they have a disposal 3 or 4 miles away from a community, these people, once they get out there, 10, 15, 20, 50 of them or whatever, they come in and ask to be a part of the community, and then as a result of that, they ask for capital monies to extend power lines out, to get roads built out to their areas, etc. So the communities are now sitting down and including these people that are 4, 5, 6 miles away. And so in most communities, this has already been done. And we're just saying that in this radius, just assist the communities in having a little bit of input as to where the disposal should take place so they can begin, because you may have a road that goes out and it may just terminate. The state may come in and go 2 or 3 miles from there and dispose of land on the other side of that. We're saying if we had something to say about that in the community, we'd say, well, don't do that. Where that road terminates, we're going to have to continue roads on from there. Make the disposal adjacent to. Let the community vote on it. So that's in essence what the Section 2 does on this bill.
Representative Gull.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not sure whether... Well, I think that this amendment... Section 2, which was added on in House Resources, could certainly have the effect of putting the bill in a conference committee and might have the effect of delaying what otherwise seems an important matter. My concerns about the bill, aside from the fact that I would have liked to have seen it in Community and Regional Affairs if this was going to be added, is twofold. Number one, right now we're dealing with some local option liquor laws, and we're running into the same sort of problem. What is the right of people in an unincorporated community, which is essentially just a collection of people who happen to occur in a particular place, what is their right to control land management decisions around them? I tend to agree with the previous speaker that they should have some rights, but I'm concerned whether that right should be specific only to disposal, which is what is being done here, saying that if the state has a subdivision at point A, the people in that subdivision are going to have the power to decide whether the state will have an additional subdivision at point B. That seems a very questionable practice. But beyond that, if we do extend that power to our unincorporated communities, if we say, well, you live there and therefore you have some rights about the development options around you, I think that's very valid. And if we're going to do that, then I think we have to be consistent. For example, on line 28 and 29 of page 1, it says, "This subsection does not prevent the commissioner from entering into leases, timber or mineral sales, or disposal of land for pipeline or utility corridors." So in other words, if the state wants to dispose of land for some reason which could have a tremendous and permanent impact on that community, they can do it. But if they want to let more people into the community, they can't, unless the folks who were there first say so. I'm concerned that this is going to hamper the original intent of the bill, and regret that I did not arise when the motion was made to accept this substitute. But those are my concerns, and I felt I should state them for the record.
Representative Szymanski,
can I brief at ease, please?
The House, please stand at ease.
Before the at ease, we had the bill before us in third reading and under debate. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 273 resources pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
27 yeas, 6 nays.
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 273 resources has passed the House.
Mr. Majority Leader, there's an effective date clause.
We had 28.
We had 27.
27.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the roll call vote on final passage of Resource Committee substitute for Senate Bill 273 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause stands approved. Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask consent that Senate Bill 273.
Okay, notice of reconsideration has been given on said bill. We have some final action under the daily calendar on some citations. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that all of the citations appearing on today's calendar be approved.
Are there any objections to the adoption of the citations on today's calendar? Hearing no objections, the citations stand adopted. This brings us down to unfinished business. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Cotton be excused from the call of the House Thursday, March 27th through plain time Wednesday, April 2nd. I'm sorry, Tuesday, April 1st, that is. I got an inconsistency. Till plain time Wednesday, April 2nd, let's make that. And that Representative Jenkins be excused from the call of the House. I'm having trouble let's see. I'll withdraw the one as to Representative Jenkins and move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Pierce be excused from the call of the House Friday, April 4th from 5 p.m. Through April 6th, and that Representative Euling be excused from the call of the House Thursday, April 10th through Sunday, April 13th.
Are there any objections as to the request by the members seeking to be excused from the call of the House, minus Representative Jenkins? Hearing no objections, all those members that request to be excused are excused. Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would request unanimous consent on behalf of the House Hess Committee to waive a bill that has already been heard by the Resources Committee. It's House Bill 627 by Representative Miller of Fairbanks, North Pole, by request. It's entitled An Act Relating to the Use of Water. As I say, it was already heard by the Resources Committee, and then we have a committee substitute. It's not really within our jurisdiction, and we have unanimous consent from the committee members. Request unanimous consent to waive. There are no further committees of referral on that bill.
Are there any objections to the request to waive the bill? The bill then would go to rules. Hearing no objections, Representative Gull.
I'll need a brief at ease on that.
The House, please stand at ease.
Will the House come back to order? Representative Gruenberg has asked permission to withdraw his motion to waive the bill. Hearing no objections, the bill is back in its original status. Any further unfinished business come before this body? Representative Pettyjohn.
Take up reconsideration of Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 502 this time.
Would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
Committee substitute for House Bill 502, Judiciary, amended by the Judiciary Committee. An act relating to confidential tax information of the Department of Revenue and providing for an effective date.
The bill is before us in third reading. Is there any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 502, Judiciary, amended, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? We'll take a long count here. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
32 yeas, 4 nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 502, Judiciary amended, has passed the House in reconsideration.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the roll call vote on final passage of Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 502 amended be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause has been adopted. Still under unfinished business. Is there any further unfinished business to come before this body? Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, it's my intent to take up the in the limbo file Senate Bill 140. Mr. Speaker, I move that the House recede from its amendments to committee substitute for Senate Bill 140, Judiciary, thereby adopting Senate Committee substitute, Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 140 as amended by the Senate, and ask the members to vote no.
Is there any debate? Are you ready for the question?
The question is, shall the House recede from its amendments to committee substitute for House Bill 140? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
2 yeas, 34 nays.
The House fails to recede from the amendments to committee substitute for Senate Bill 140. At this time, I'd like to appoint the conference committee on this bill, Representative Clarkson, Representative Kopanen, and Representative Pinyalberry.
Any further unfinished business? Representative Gull.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask unanimous consent that I be permitted to add my name as a co-sponsor to the citation for Stella Martin, which is in the possession of the House.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Any further unfinished business? This brings us down to announcements of standing committees or special committees. Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been informed that the new committee substitute for House Bill 532 has not yet been finished in drafting, and therefore we will not take the bill up today in committee. We have it up tomorrow, and we'll try to get the committee substitute out to committee members by this afternoon.
Representative Schultz.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a reminder to the Resource Committee that there is a meeting tomorrow at 8:30.
Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On the House Committee today, we will also be taking up House Bill 99, Public Assistance Work Programs, as well as the other items on the calendar, and also a letter of intent on House Bill 688, the University Tax Credit, that we neglected to take up when we took the bill up last Friday. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Martin.
Just one of those bills that he announced, it looks like a nice schedule now, but had 99 been heard previously? Have the others been heard previously?
Representative Gruenberg?
Yes, several times on both counts.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could I ask the resource chairman what the subject is for the meeting tomorrow?
Representative Schultz.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate that. The I'll find it here. It's on the agenda. This is a representative from Dillingham Day in Resources. Where am I at? There's several. Oh, here we go. Okay, HGR 68, High Seas Interception of Salmon. HGR 65, Foreign Marketing of Pink Salmon Products. HGR 67, All-Weather Satellite Coverage. And if we have time, other bills that have previously been before the committee. Thank you.
Representative Boucher.
Now, the meeting of the House Special Committee on Telecommunication for tomorrow at 7 a.m. has been canceled.
Any further committee announcements? Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Labor and Commerce is scheduled to meet at 1:15, and I'd like the members to be present as soon as we adjourn, because we now have only one bill on the calendar, and it should be a relatively short meeting.
Any further committee announcements? General announcements? Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, it's with great honor and excitement that I announce that it's Representative Pignalberry's birthday today.
Representative Pignalberry, would you care to?
Well, Mr. Speaker, I just have to note that, not to do with my birthday, but looking over on the other side of the aisle today, I could help not help but notice that the three bearded gentlemen in that row have all recently, very recently, had their beards trimmed, and the appearance of the House has increased substantially. But still, the lady on the end of the row sits as a rose amongst thorns.
That's a strange birthday message. But under announcements, I think all the members know that Chief Justice Rabinowitz is going to be giving his State of the Judiciary, and that will be this coming Thursday, which would be March 27th. They asked if they could appear before us at 11:15 so they could take the plane into Juneau and then get out in the same day and save the state, or at least the judiciary, some money. So we will be meeting at 11 o'clock on Thursday, a.m. now, to hear the State of the Judiciary. Any further announcements? Special orders. Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be afforded the privilege of the floor to speak on mining.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, today I would like to speak this morning on the economic problems of extreme importance to our mining industry. Mining has, Mr. Speaker, as we all know very well, has been a major part of the development of Alaska. So this morning, Mr. Speaker, I will not talk of its historical significance. Suffice it to say that mining has and continues to be a very important element in our economy. However, Mr. Speaker, if recent trends, both regulatory and judicial, remained unchallenged and unchecked, I think we can kiss the mining industry in Alaska goodbye, Mr. Speaker. Here is an industry in Alaska which accounts for approximately $100 million of our state economy each year, and in which thousands of men and women are employed. Yet, Mr. Speaker, it appears that the current administration, while professing to support private sector employment and the expansion of Alaskans' industries, are allowing the placer miners of the state to be put out of business. Mr. Speaker, there are three actions that I believe must be taken if we are to save our placer miners and the Alaskan mining industry. First, Mr. Speaker, the state must intervene in the Sierra Club suit. Second, Mr. Speaker, the legislature must pass immediately House Bill 613 and or Senate Bill 418. And third, Mr. Speaker, the Sheffield administration must change its administrative approach to legislatively designated multiple-use state lands. I regret to say, Mr. Speaker, that I don't expect this current administration to take necessary action on the first and third point that I have just brought out. Mr. Speaker, by the recent announcement that the state will not intervene on the miners' behalf in the litigation, the governor has, in effect, joined the side of the environmentalists. There are, Mr. Speaker, 2,000 jobs on the line in this suit. Mr. Speaker, 2,000 working Alaskans who will not be working if the Sierra Club suit is to prevail. Unfortunately, Mr. Speaker, I do not expect this administration to help those 2,000 working Alaskans. He and his administration, in my opinion, Mr. Speaker, is too closely tied to and controlled by the environmentalists in order to come to their assistance. Mr. Speaker, I believe that they would prefer to see the activity of the placer miners simply stop. I do not expect to see a change in the administrative approach to multiple-use land for the same reason, Mr. Speaker. If you look at the concept of multiple-use as originally envisioned, it was supposed to allow the use of public lands by a variety of users, including those who are willing to extract resources and to put them to constructive use, as well as those who simply enjoy them for recreational pleasure and the great outdoors. Multiple use, in this administrative view, does not include resource development. On the other hand, Mr. Speaker, we here in this legislature can make a difference. We can enact into law the changes embodied in House Bill 613 and Senate Bill 418. These companion bills would create the Alaska Mining Commission. That's the Alaska Minerals Commission, Mr. Speaker, to be charged with the finding of ways to mitigate the problem facing this beleaguered industry. This, in my opinion, Mr. Speaker, is a very first step, a small first step, to the promotion of the mining industry and to a viable, contributing and working sector of our economy. In closing, Mr. Speaker, I would remind my colleagues here today that we are facing revenue shortfalls of crisis proportion, and that there is no way that we can continue to pump state dollars into the economy as we have for the past several years. A tailspin, Mr. Speaker, seems to be unavoidable, as we simply will not have the money to keep this economy heated up. On top of this, Mr. Speaker, it would be criminal to throw Alaskan miners out of work in the process. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any further special orders? Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Wednesday.
Any objections?